Please join with me for a moment of prayer.
Beloved Father in heaven, for every good and every perfect gift, we give thee thanks. Jesus is our everything. Every letter in the English and Greek alphabet, He is the beginning and the end and all things in between. We thank thee that though we're nothing, that we have one who is everything, one who can grant us every blessing in life, whatever that blessing might be. We thank thee for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we thank thee that that is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. We thank thee that for the liberty that we have in this nation, and yet liberty truly for us is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. We are too, as thy servant the Apostle Paul wrote, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And where thy Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. And we pray that thy Spirit might be here, that he might manifest himself in our midst, that we might have the liberty of worship, that thy servant may preach thy word, and thy people may hear and understand. Blessed we pray, to thy praise, to thy glory above all things, and then to the good and edification of thy people. Help us to remember these things that we will hear this morning, and use them in our everyday lives to honor and to glorify thee. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen.
I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and I want to read verses 78 and 79. Again, that's the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and verses 78 and 79. And these two verses read, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now, this passage of Scripture is concerning the coming, birth and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was written or spoken rather by the father of John the Baptist, whose name was Zacharias. He is evidently one of the priests. And there was a miraculous work that was done in his conception there, because his wife Elizabeth had been, the two of them had not been able to have a child for quite a long time, never had a child. And finally, she was blessed to deliver John the Baptist. And so that's the background of this. John the Baptist, I believe, was the third cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says now, concerning Jesus Christ, he says, picking up in the middle of verse 78, he says, "Whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us." Now, this word is only found once more in the Scriptures, and it's found in the book of Job. And this particular is in Job chapter 38 and verse 12. Again, Job chapter 38 and verse 12. And it reads, God is asking Job this particular question, among other rather thought-provoking questions, and he says, Job chapter 38, verse 12, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day springs to know his place?" So that's those are the only two times that that word is mentioned in the Scriptures. In Luke, it means a rising of light. And Job is translated from a Hebrew word which means dawn. And I understand both of them are the same, because at dawn we have the rising of the light. And it is the day spring can be called the springing of the day. The springing of the day. Another similar verse of Scripture is found in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. Again, that's Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. Now, some of you may be turning to that. Let me say one thing concerning this. This verse of Scripture speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It glorifies Him. And yet it's spoken by a rather unusual man, a man by the name of Balaam. And he wanted to... he was asked by King of Moab to curse the nation of Israel, and he said he would only speak those things that God would allow him to speak. And God did not allow him to curse Israel. Later on, he put a stumbling block in the in Israel and caused many of them to die. Now, what he did as a result of those things that he did. This was a rather worldly individual. This was a covetous man, evidently, because he wanted to do everything he could. He was offered a certain amount of money or property, and he wanted to do all he could to be able to get this property, and willing to go time after time, and yet the Lord would never allow him to curse the nation of Israel. But in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, we find these words: "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob." Now this is concerning Jesus Christ. "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." Now, I'll tell you about the end of that verse of Scripture, what it means, and I'll quote something from a movie, in case you want to ask me. And that is a quote from a movie. I'll tell you. I don't know. And so, but the middle of that, a star and the scepter there. Alright, this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the word scepter there is used. In Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, this is Jacob or Israel giving his sons, his 12 sons, the prophecy of what would happen not just to them, but to the tribes that bore their names. And he says concerning Judah in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10, he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now this scepter that I read about in Numbers chapter 24 verse 17 is the same scepter, I think, that's found in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. That is, he would come as king, king of kings and lord of lords, king of the Jews, and other titles that he might have, he would bear that rule. And so the scepter would not depart from Judah. There would be at least an offspring. There would be some that might rule in the tribe of Judah until Shiloh come, which is a word that means peace and refers to the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ the Lord. And so there is a reference to Judah there. And then he mentions a star there. Stars are very important. Now, he's called the star out of Jacob, but I couldn't help but think about the star that guided the wise men, but I don't think this is referring to that. I'll get to that in just a moment, the Lord willing. But the star there, stars were very important. Sailors could know where they were at night because in the ocean because of stars. That is, at night when they could not see, and they were in the middle of the ocean, and in any way that they turned, they could not see land, and so in that sense, they could not know where they're going. And yet, with a sextant, an instrument that was invented years ago, and the stars, and knowing the stars as they did, they could tell just about exactly where they were, or if not that, they could know for sure just exactly in which direction they needed to be going in order to get to the place where they were going. So stars were very important like that. Now, the reason I mention that is because Jesus Christ is our star. Jesus Christ is our star. Our direction is in Jesus Christ. Our guidance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to know how we should live in a certain way in our lives, then we can look at Jesus Christ and find the direction for our lives. And so, He is our star because He is like the star for the sailors of old. He is our direction and gives us the way in which we should follow in our lives. Now, another passage of Scripture that came to my mind is found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. And it's one that I guess we hear a good bit of the time during this time of the year. All over this area, I suppose, and all over the state, there are those that are getting together singing Handel's Messiah. And this is one of those choruses. The big part, I believe, is the solo. One of the solos is sung concerning the Christmas season. And again, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it reads, "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And so there is Jesus Christ as the light. Now referring to the people that walk in darkness, people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. But if they walk in the light all the time, then the light wouldn't have made that much difference. But the very fact that they were walking in darkness, when the light shined upon them, the contrast that was there, obviously it made a tremendous difference for them. But the word darkness in this passage of Scripture, that is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, the word darkness is translated from a Hebrew word which means misery, destruction, ignorance, and wickedness. That's darkness there. Again, now there are a couple of others anyway, and I didn't write them all down. But it's misery, destruction, ignorance, and wickedness. That is, that they were going around in misery. Maybe they didn't know it, but they were walking around in misery because they didn't have the joy of the Lord. And their lives were in such a way that led to the destruction, or they were living in such a way that would lead to the destruction of their lives. They were walking in ignorance to the Word of God, and especially what was about to come and the coming of the Lord Jesus. And they were living in wickedness, in all kinds of ungodliness. And so that's the darkness there. Alright, he says, the people that walk in darkness have seen something. They saw something. And the word see means seeing there. One of the definitions is they perceive. The people that walk in darkness, yes, they saw it with their eyes, but they were able to perceive that great light there. Now, just for instance, now, as we think about seeing, if I see... Now, Cass and I have been blessed to know Brother J.W. and Sister Nancy for a number of years, seeing them at here and other meetings and associations and other meetings like that. When I see one of them, there's a perception. That's Brother J.W. That's Sister Nancy. We've known them for years. That's perception that we have. When we see one another, there is not only the vision, but there's perception. Now, this is that person. Well, they were able to perceive. That is to say that they did not only see him, they did not only hear him, but they understood and believed some of the things that Jesus taught. And they rejoiced in those things that Jesus taught. And so, the people who walk in darkness, and I give you those definitions again, misery, destruction, ignorance, and wickedness, have seen, they have perceived something, and they perceive a great light. One of the definitions of this word light, back again in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, from the same Hebrew word, by the way, or from a different Greek word, is lightning. Well, now, that doesn't sound in some ways like a good metaphor, I suppose you might say, or comparison of Jesus Christ the Lord. In some ways, it's not. And yet, in one way, it is. I remember years ago, when we lived in Albany, we were going down this four-lane street. There was a thunderstorm outside. And I looked over to my left, across those roads there, and I saw lightning hit a transformer. Now, I'll tell you something. That lit the place up. Now, it was cloudy and overcast, obviously, in a thunderstorm, and a little bit on the dark side, but I tell you, that lightning lit the place up. And when lightning comes down, whether it strikes something like that close by or not, when lightning comes down, then it just lights up the sky. You can see it where the lightning is if it's a long ways from you. If it happens to be fairly close to you, you can see things light up around you, at least temporarily. But now here's the key, and I get this. This is what I want to get. That lightning, there was a charge somewhere in the atmosphere. And I don't know how to explain this. The same answer a while ago, by the way. I'll tell you, I don't know. But there's a charge somewhere with that transformer there, and the lightning came down from the heavens down to that transformer. That is, there's something in both cases. There's something on both ends there. And when God's people have spiritual eyes, they've been blessed to see some of the things of heaven. It's as the lightning coming down out of heaven and striking us. And I mean in a good way, of course, to bless us with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also, it's like morning. And we've seen that with the springing of the day and the dawn and those that sort of thing. So that's what that light is all about. Now think about it again a bit. of several people, or groups of people. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. The wise men, they follow the star. I told you I was going to get there. And I don't know just exactly why, but I tend to think, but first of all, these men, I think were Persians. I think that. I'm 100% sure that I think they were Persians. Now, these Persian men, they saw this star. And it may be they knew something of the prophecies in the Old Testament. They maybe they learned some of these things from Daniel and others, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, while they were in bondage with Persia. It may have been they learned them then. I'm not sure about that, but they knew something. Now, these were men that, again, even though they knew some biblical truth, some spiritual truth, and yet at the same time, they walked in darkness. They were magicians, if you will. And the magicians were tools, I guess you might say, servants of false gods, of pagan gods. And so they walked in paganism. They were in darkness, and they saw the great light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews, they were in darkness. They were groups like the publicans, and they were tax collectors. Many of them stole from the people. They were the sinners. And we're all sinners in a sense, because every human being that's ever been conceived on the face of this earth is at least a sinner by nature. Though maybe not by practice, but at least by nature. We're at least sinners by nature. And for those sinners, there was a caste or group of people among the people of Judea, and they were people that had lust for the grossest sins that may have been. And that was the kind of people they were. And yet, brothers and sisters, they were able to see, even though they walked in darkness, yet they were able to see that great light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene, I found out reading of her, was possessed with devils. And she was in darkness, and yet she was able to see the great light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the man that was possessed with so many devils that those devils were called legion. And I don't remember how many that included there, but this was a man. And yet later on, he was in his right mind. He was one who walked in darkness, and yet he saw a great light. Think about the apostles. They walked in darkness. One of them was Simon Zelotes. Another way of expressing that in English is Simon the Zealot. That is, he was a terrorist, and he would kill Roman officials. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, let me say one thing concerning this. People may be wrong. People in responsible authority may be wrong, but that doesn't give us or anyone else the excuse to kill someone. That's the kind of man he was. He walked in darkness, and yet he saw the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the apostles were in darkness to some degree, and yet they saw the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Judea was in the darkness of the law. Not only the darkness of the law, but the idea, the concept they had because of this is what the law means and the twisting of the law with the scribes and Pharisees and others that could be named. And yet though some of those who walked in darkness and the darkness of the law and figures and all these things, they saw the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on the Gentiles, they also live according to the law. They heard the law, by the way. There was a book of the five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, called the Septuagint, a Greek Old Testament version. They had that. Well, if the Jews didn't know what the law meant, surely the Gentiles didn't know what it meant. Not only that, but they were in paganism. That is, they worshipped Zeus and all other kinds of gods. They were in darkness, and yet with some of them, the light of Jesus Christ came. And so, with all these groups, we could say, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is indeed the light of the world. We find that in John chapter 9 and verse 5. And Jesus in this verse of Scripture said, John chapter 9 verse 5, He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so Jesus said that He is indeed the light of the world. That is the world of God's people. Let me say one thing about world and this passage of Scripture and some other passages of Scripture is translated from a Greek word which is cosmos. Now, some of you are not familiar with that word, but those my age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, We're familiar with the word cosmos because back in the 60s, maybe it was the late 50s, and I'm not sure about these dates for sure, but the Soviets or the Russians beat us into space. And they had these men that went out into outer space, and they were called cosmonauts. The cosmos is their word for the heavens. Now, heavenly people, now this world refers to the world of God's people, the heaven-born souls, those born of the Spirit of God. So this refers to the world of God's people. Jesus is the life of the world of His people. And Jesus illuminates that world. And He is the direction. That is, He shows the direction. I don't like to walk around in the darkness. Not that I'm scared of the darkness. Not that I'm scared that some ghost or whatever is going to jump out. I'm not thinking about that, but I just feel better walking in the light. And I remember years ago, Kathy and I hadn't been married very long. I'd sat down Friday evening right next to the light, table there, a lamp, and I was going to read and study my Bible some. I'd hardly gotten started. Phone rang. Lee, there's a cow down trying to have a calf. So we went. I won't go into all the details. I tried to remember everything that I possibly could, and I remembered everything. This was at night, by the way. It wasn't completely dark when we first went there, but I remembered everything except one thing, and that was a flashlight. Now, that was a dark night. I want to tell you, I had to walk out of the woods to go get the veterinarian, call him. And I went like this, because I was afraid I was going to run into a tree. And that's the way I went out of the woods. It was dark. I could not see. I couldn't see a tree as close to that poinsettia is from me. I couldn't see a tree that far away. So I went out of the woods like this and was able to get out and all those things. And I won't get any further than that. But the idea of the light is indeed important. The light shows the direction. Had I had the light, I could say, well, don't go into that tree, don't go into this shrub, or whatever the case may be, then go in this particular direction. The light gives the direction. So Jesus is the direction, or He shows the direction for our lives. Did you know, brothers and sisters, there's someone who bore witness of that light. It's said of him that he bore witness of that light, and that's John the Baptist. It's found in John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and verses 6 through 8. John 1, and verses 6 through 8. Says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent... Beg your pardon. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And so, John bore witness of the light. He said concerning him, there's one who's come is mightier than I am. And he says, I'm not worthy to loose his shoelaces. So he spoke of Jesus in that way. He spoke of the kingdom of God. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. And when he spoke of the kingdom, he was also speaking of a king that would come, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he spoke of those, and in those ways he bore witness of the light. The apostles bore witness of the light, that wherever they went preaching Jesus. When they first went, when they were sent out, before Jesus was crucified, they went preaching the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God is at hand. They continued to preach that, but after Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead, then they preached Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And so they bore witness of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those in whom the light had shined, those who were born of the Spirit of God, and God blessed them to do so, they received that message, and they were able to find joy in the light of Jesus Christ. Other ministers besides the apostles bore witness of the light. Timothy was one, by the way. Non-ministers bore witness of the light. That is Stephen, one of the seven deacons, one of the first seven deacons, bore witness of the light of Jesus Christ. And as he was bearing witness, or after he bore witness of the light of Jesus Christ, he was stoned. And then I think Jesus called him home. I used to think Stephen was stoned to death, but you can't really find that in the scriptures. I believe the Lord, just when he was being stoned, the Lord, in his mercy, just called him home. And so called his spirit home, and he died in that particular way. Now listen, as these have borne witness to the light of Jesus Christ, we're also to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ. Now, we can tell others about Jesus and all that he's done for us. Let me look at one more passage of Scripture as found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Now notice this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Alright, now the Word of God goes from faith to faith. Just like right now, but because of the faith that God has given me, I'm trying to speak those things to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the faith is given me, I'm trying to speak those things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe in these things. I rejoice in these things. And you, the faith that's in you, enables you to receive those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in that way, it goes from faith to faith. And when we meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are, whether they're members here or attenders here or whatever the case may be, then when we discuss Jesus Christ, it goes from faith to faith. The Lord has blessed those who speak of Jesus Christ with the faith, and they rejoice in those things. And then when they speak those things to others, then by faith they're able to receive those things. And so, brothers and sisters, the idea that we are able to speak those things of Jesus Christ, and if the Lord has made them receptive to those things, then they can receive those things. Now, if they're not interested in those things, I'll give you another quote from Brother George Dunhauer, the late Elder George Dunhauer. He said this, and he said he speaks to someone, and when they have different ideas about some of the things that are found in the Scriptures, when he finds that person doesn't use the Scriptures or the Bible, the Word of God, as his foundation, that is that's the truth and that alone, not opinions, then he just simply says, case closed. That is no point in discussing it because they don't have a common ground. But again, when we speak something of Jesus Christ, and it's rather obvious, if that person doesn't want to hear that, then just say, case closed. Just leave it that particular way. But we can, and another way we can bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ is by living our lives according to the pattern that Jesus gave. When I thought about that, I thought about a woman that most of you are familiar with, a woman who'd gone with her husband and two sons, because there was a drought in Judah around Bethlehem where they lived. They went over into Moab. Some of you know who I'm talking about already. But I'm talking about Naomi. Her husband died. Her two sons married. Both those two sons died. And she was with those two daughters-in-law. And she told them both, and I'll paraphrase this, she told them both, and I go back. I can't have sons according to the law then. She can have sons and they can marry those. She said, now, if I have sons by the time they're old enough, then you'll be too old and whatever. They'll be far younger than you. But she said, just go back. And Orpah really wanted to go. But she did go back. And Ruth said, and I'll just start that word, that expression, you know it. And entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. Now, I could add more than I thought I could. But again, notice that expression. Thy God shall be my God. I'm sure she heard Naomi and maybe the others speak about God, but especially Naomi. She heard Naomi speak about God and the God of Israel. What a God the God of Israel was. Well, I tell you something, brother and sister. She knew something about God by what Naomi spoke. But she knew more about God by how Naomi lived. She was able to see the God of Israel in this woman by the name of Naomi, whose name, by the way, means pleasantness. pleasantness. And so she saw something about the God of Israel. And she wanted that God to be her God, because and one of the reasons she did is because of what she saw of that God in the life of Naomi. Now, listen, brothers and sisters, and that's the way we can bear witness of Jesus Christ. When we live according to the life of Jesus Christ, or the standards that are found here in this Word, whether they're in the Gospels where Jesus spoke, or those things that Paul wrote, they're all the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever they may be. And so, in these ways, by telling others about Jesus, and our living our lives according to the pattern of Jesus Christ found in the Word of God, in these ways, brothers and sisters, we can be the light of the world. Now, I remind you, Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, I believe it is, He is the light of the world. He also said, and I'm sure when I read that, some of you said and remembered, that in the Sermon on the Mount, He told His disciples, ye are the light of the world. You know about that one also. Well, listen, years ago, I worked at Cotton States in Atlanta. That office has been moved. It was on Peachtree Road, I think that's what it's called there, not far from Lenox Square. All right, now, when I left there, I turned left on the Peachtree Road. They had an officer there allowing us to get out. And I turned left on Peachtree Road, going north, I guess that is. Now, there was a building across from the parking lot of Lenox Square that had glass signs. And during that time, the sun was behind me when I was going towards that glass building, reflecting in that glass wall. And then it shined on me. I wasn't looking into the sun, and yet I was in a sense because it was reflecting off that glass wall. Now what I'm getting at is, Jesus, like the sun, is the source of light. And we, like that glass wall, are reflectors of the light of Jesus Christ. We're like the sun and the moon. Does the moon shine? I wouldn't argue that point, but any light that it has, any light that the moon has, is the light that's reflected from the sun. And we're like the moon, brothers and sisters. We reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we live as we ought and speak of those things of Jesus Christ, we are reflectors of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in these ways, we can be the light of the world. And may God bless us to those ends, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.